The Omar Rabbi Elazar Gedola Deya. Gedola Deya. Great is knowledge, is das. Shenitna ben shtei oisis. Because it was given, it was Deya is written between two words. Shenemar ki kel deyois Hashem. That means two oisis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says kel and it says Hashem, and in between it says deyois. Knowledge. Now, what is das? What is deya? We daven deya bina mahaskel or chochma bina vadaas, depending on if you're Shvat or Ashkenaz. Marsha discusses it. We're going to talk about it. That will be what we discuss tonight. But I want to cover a few lines. It all has to do with the same Gemara. So we're going to go weiter, and then we'll wrap up these the Gemara together after we do the next few lines. Vamare will love the Godel Mikdash. Mikdash is great. Shenitim Beit Shteish is also written between two words of Hashem. Shenema Po'alto Hashem Mikdash Hashem Koinu Yadecha. You see the word Mikdash is written between the two words of Hashem, and therefore it's a great thing. Now, Maskif Lo Reb Ada Karchino. Reb Ada Karchino Ifk Elamayat the Godel Nakama. Revenge should also be very great. Shenitna Bein Shtei Oisis. Dixiv Kel Nekomis Hashem. Kel Nekomis Ifia. So you see the word Nekomis is written between Kel and Hashem.
Why is that a Pella?
What?
Why is that a Pella?
Because in the Havamin of the Gemara, revenge is something that connotes bad midah. Revenge is something where the Torah says, Sikoyim V'loi Sitar. That's B'nei HaMecha. It says the pasuk in Kedoshim that should not take revenge, and we know that revenge is something that tears at the fabric of a human being. It tears at the Rebbe Hashem doesn't want the sinner to be anywhere near someone who's in a coma, who's a naked, who takes revenge. What's the reason for what is wrong with revenge? We forget. A person takes a stick, he hits the dog and he throws the stick.
What's wrong is that we don't know how to take Nekama. That's what's wrong.
What do you mean?
Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes Nekama because Nekama is the correct thing to do.
Right, that's the end result. But before you get to that point, you jump like 100 steps to the Maskana. But in the build-up process to what you said, okay, when you back up the truck and you think about it, the dog is going to run after the stick, not realizing that there was someone else who used the stick to hit him. We sometimes forget that it wasn't this guy who stole my $100 and my customer. It was your Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Aleph. Eventually, when you go down the line, we're going to end up where you ended up. To you, there was a pashtus because you're a Ben Torah, so you ended up there. But in building up that Yisoid, it starts with nobody has a right and no one can do you a favor or do you harm if Hashem doesn't want it to happen. Shai b'tochen, chavis alvavis. So therefore, what are you doing? You're taking revenge on what? Hashem wants this result. So there are a lot of shluchim. This is the guy who did it to you. If he did something wrong, he'll have to answer up for it after 120 years with Hashem. But what does that do to you? You have to go to Hashem and say to Hashem, hey, why did this happen to me? Oh, maybe I have to be mechazik myself. I have to work on different things. But at the end of the day, when you finally have to take nekama, which is what he was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to do it. And that was the Maila, the Madrega Pinchas, that he took nekama for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered, and he was given tremendous bracha, because Pinchas knew how to take nekama by killing Zimri Menzel. He knew how to do it. He knew how to keep his emotions in check and knew when to and when not to do it. That's where he ends up. Is that when it's necessary and how it should be meted out, only Hashem knows how to do that. But in the beginning, the person who's doing the nekama is forgetting who's really driving the bus. And therefore, it's a big problem. We don't think that nekama should be juxtaposed with Hashem's name before and Hashem's name afterwards, based on what we're saying now, that creates a greatness for it. So what could be possible? What possibly could be the greatness about Nekama? So the Gemara answers, Amalei Lemilsei Ochanami, in its proper time, like he was saying. Kedeulah, Dama Ula Shtei Oifiyah Yisalolu Lama. Why do you need Kel Nekama? He says, Kel Nekama Yisifiyah. He says it twice. What do you need it for? So the answer is, Lama Achas Lemidah Toivah, Achas Lemidah Peronis. Nekama L'Toivah, and someone who's paid for good, and does Nekama for bad, somebody who gets paid back, who gets punished for bad. But the bottom line is back to what we were saying, that something that's written between the two words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered Godo, considered great. Now, back to what we were saying. We went on a tangent for a minute. Back to what we were saying now. Deya is great because it's written between Hashem's name. How great? What does that mean? So now the Gemara is going to show you just what the consequence will be if we don't understand just how great Deya is. Someone who has Deya, it says this Beis HaMikdash was built in his days. That's one nekuda. That could be why the Gemara brought down the Mikdash right after Deya, to show you that the fact that they're right near each other, if a person has Deya, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his days. It's a great thing, and we're going to soon see exactly how and why. The Amar Rebbe Lozer called him Sheyesh B'Deya, famous Hashem. Someone who has Deya will get rich. Shenemar Uvadas Chadorim Imalu. The Chadorim with Das will get filled. Kol Hoin Yokav Noam. The treasures and everything will be beautiful. Meaning to say that because he has Das, he will see success in these inyanim. Again, put it on hold. The Marsha discusses this as well. So we want to understand Deya and understand what does it have to do with becoming rich. The Marsha here asks the question that we know that, and I'll just quickly read the Lashon so you'll hear the words, that the Chachom and the Nevoinim don't get rich. The Lashon is that L'chayru Korsha Shari Nema Loila Chachomim Lechem Loila L'Avoinim Oysher. The ones who have Bina won't get Oysher. Masha, he tackles this Kasha, exactly what's going on. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. I just want to do one more Gemara that has to do with this. Amar Rebbe Elazar, actually two more. Call them she ain't boy Deya. Someone who doesn't have Deya, also l'rachem alav. Can't have rachmonos on him. Shenar aki loy ambinois. Who al kain loy rachmenu oiseu v'yeshenu loy chunenu. And we see that someone who doesn't have bina don't have rachmonos. Aki loy rachmenu oiseu. Yitzreinu, and the one who created him, Lo Yitzchununu, will not sustain him, will not protect him, will not give him. What does that mean? You see from there, that someone who's not having Deya, don't reckon, don't deal with him. And the Mashal explains this as well. Because the guy is not going to have Deya means he's not going to realize that his source of success, or lack thereof, is from Hashem, and that he won't daven for. For such a person, you can't deal with him. This is what the Mashiach says, I'm saying it in a nutshell. For Amar Rebbe Elazar, and this is the last Gemara for tonight. Karnoizin Peter Mishayim by Deya, someone who gives bread. Peter, sustenance to someone who doesn't have Deya, Yisurim Bona Love, he will have Yisurim. Shadem Alach Machal Yisimu Mazar. Mazar is the Lashem Yisurim, Tachtecha. Not Mazar. Ain't Tfuna Boiv, Ain't Mazar Li Yisurim. The Pasuk ends after the word Boiv, Ain't Mazar Li Yisurim. Shadem Ayar Ephraim. Which means they saw that Ephraim had the Chol Yod, the sicknesses, Yehuda the loss of Yisurim of pain. Okay, sorry, one more Gemara. Farmer Rebbe Elazar called Adam Sheim by Das Deya L'Seif Gaila. He'll end up going into exile. Shenema L'Chin Gila Gola Amim Li Das. My nation got exiled only Das, without Das. Now, this Gemara is encapsulated in short term that Deya is something that we have to understand, pardon the pun, we have to have das, bina, havana, we have to understand it, something we have to strive for, something we have to first know what it is, and then we have to have some strategies how to acquire it. Now, the Rav Shimshon Pinkus on the bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, someone once went over to Big Mashkiach and asked him, he's having trouble in his learning, concentrating. What can he do to work on building up his concentration? Mashkiach told him, you should have kavona by the bracha of Atochoyne. Atochoyne mo'odim das. Ato is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Choynein mo'odim das. You bestow, I guess, upon people das. Malame le'ene yibina. You teach the people bina is understanding. Okay, so Atochoyne das malame le'ene yibina. Choynein me'yitcha. Give from you, Deyabina Mahaska. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us Deyabina Mahaska. Now, what's unique about this bracha, and it's a very sad statement, I spoke to Kerala this morning, a couple of the young Galai. No one that I spoke to was ever omit on it. Now, we're all davening Shmoneh Esrei since we're yay high, most of us, and we never stopped to really think about it. But what is unique about the bracha of Atochoyneh Mo'odim Das? What's unique is that we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he's doing. We don't start off like this. Ata reifei b'chol choylei amcha v'feiru Hashem alakiru v'nei rafei. We don't do that. All the brachas start off without the statement of, if you have a siddur here, I'll show you how it could have written it. The Maisa, it's very unique, and it's a stop to think about it. Like, what are we doing over here? Okay, take the bracha, okay, and any of the brachas, okay, not the first three. The first three we talk to say ato kodesh, mechaye meisim ato. That those are the first three brachas we're talking about. Without coming to ask for things, we're praising. We're asking. Here, we don't say Ata Hoshe Vaisanu L'Tzeres Secha Hashiveinu Avinu L'Tzeres Secha. We don't do that. We just ask him for our bakasha. Ata Seleach Lanu Selach Lanu Avinu K'Zatar. We don't do that. And everyone is the same way, except for this one bracha, where we say, Atochoyneh Mo'odim Das. Okay. Umalam Elanish Bina. That happens to be what you do, Hashem. Atochoyneh Mo'odim Das. Umalam Elanish Bina. You give people Das. We don't ask Abakasha till the last line. Chaneinu Me'itcha Deyabina Vaska. All the brachas start with Chaneinu. Start with the Bakasha. So it's a little bit different. I mean, it's a lot different than all the other brachas in Shmoneh Esrei. So he asks, he says, what's going on over here? What's this bracha over here? Now, he explains it with a muscle. Okay? And he says like this. First he says the basic concept that we wouldn't have the ability to have avon and learning and anything we're doing without das, and that's what's machalik us from an animal. An animal has no das. An animal has instincts, but there's no das. And Adam has das. But he says like this, he says, could you imagine? A fellow comes into the king. Now, we don't understand what the king is either. She just know. If a victim of the Chayor used to always say that you have like a dugma, with the way they in England try to make believe with their queen, like a royal family, and like a little bit of a dogma. Not that there's any power there, not that there's any kirchis, not that she's going to be hanging anybody, you know, in the public square. It hasn't happened recently, but there is a dogma, and when we say Hashem Melech coming into Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to use physical concepts to help us understand the spiritual things which we can't wrap our hands around. If Avigdor Miller says it, we're going to see soon how he applies it to the concept of Das. But for myself, there is this concept of Melech, and try to, for a minute, at a lower level, a president or a prime minister, imagine you go knock on his door, and you walk over there and you say to the, you say whoever he is, and you say to him, give me a matana. You knock on the door, give me a present. You're so not in line when you do that. It's not shayach that you could do that. So he says a concept like this. He says that a person has to first make mention to Hashem that you're the one who gives us that in order for us to then now have the chutzpah, so to speak, to say to Hashem, so give us A, B, C, D. We're going to go now with 15 brachas in a row or more, and each one is going to be asking for something. You can't just go and start asking for nothing. Matnas chinam, give me something for free. No, but the concept of that I have das and I understand that I can't have anything without you, Hashem. You gave me. You gave me the ability to think, to have das, to digest and understand something. Not like an animal. And I've come to the realization that I'm a goner without you. So about Zoe, I'm here asking for A, B, C, D, E, F. It has to start off like that. That means there has to be that understanding that we can't get started without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to have a das, an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is the Kol Yachol, everything. We have to understand that. And that's what the Marsha says on this Gemara. That the reason why the person Avalam Adam Kimin Shenivra Betaitu Vesichli and Ein Loi Das He's not, if he doesn't have das, he's not going to understand. And the Russian is, where it says, Misha Embo Da Soy Ugoyle, Dimitoshu Marbi Vishoyolo, Misha Embo Da, Ein Mavakish Rachamim. He's not going to be Mavakish Rachamim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he's not going to understand that his whole sustenance is coming from there. So let's understand this. We need Das to realize that we have nothing without Hashem, to ask Hashem to give us stuff. Without das, we don't understand that. But we need to ask Hashem to give us das to understand it. So what's going on over here? So therefore, the bracha is telling us a fact. Because otherwise we can't even get to this point. And it's our job to drill that into us, and we're going to soon see Eitzes how to do that. To understand and internalize das. To really understand chushistic that Hashem is real, and that everything he's doing is real. And Lamaisa, Chaneinu Miyitcha Dei Bin Raskel, now impart to us that day of Bin Raskel, so we could go forward in our Avodas Hashem, in our Limud HaTorah, our Asiyas HaMitzvahs, and everything that we're doing. It's not Shaykh. So therefore, it's a very unique situation where we have to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu something that we need das to ask, so we have to first make mention, a statement, Hashem, you give us the das. That has to be the starting point for us to get to the next madrega. Now, this is applicable all over the place. We are on cruise control. That's the truth. We're not really tuned in to really understand what's going on. And it's like that in Ruchnius, and it's like that in Gashmius. And I think the Miller said over in Avad that a mother tells a child, famous, you don't get more famous than this mashal. Don't touch the heater, it's hot. But one time the mother's looking away for a second, and the kid touches the heater, and it's hot. Now what's the difference? When the mother said it was hot, the child believed the mother. The child knows that the mother knows. And if the mother says it's hot, it's hot. If you would have asked the child, Hatala, is the heater hot? Yeah, mommy said it's hot. He knew it. And if you try to come over as an outsider and say, nah, it's not hot. My mother said it's hot, it's hot. So what changed? Says to Victor Miller, now it's hot. When he's got that ice pack on his hand, he knows it's hot. But he knew it was hot. You could have asked him, he would have told you it was hot. But yet, there's hot, and then there's hot. And we all know what that means. It means the experience of feeling it made it real. It wasn't in the abstract that, oh, mommy says he was a hot, so when you touch his hot. That's not what happened. That is a madriga, but it's nothing for what's necessary. Hashem took care of this and this. It's words. We know that. But we didn't touch the radiator. Do we understand? Is it internalized? Do we feel it? Or we don't feel it. This is the time of year to use Deya and become more cognizant of what's going on, that it's kushiyus, that we feel it, that it's real. It's real. And he says over here that our chayv, one of the jobs that we have in this world, it's to be makabel yediyah chushiyus, to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, not fake. That is das, a real deep understanding. That's why it's the first thing, day of Bina Vahaska. Das, it's taking something that's a concept and making it real. Making it something that is not just a facade, it's not just, you know, a mirage. It's something that's real, 3D, it's touchable. Now, there are many ways to try to work on this. Let's start with a basic understanding. We all know that sometimes we say one thing and then end up doing something else, sometimes. I'll give an example, okay? We daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? Now, is a person permitted to space out in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei? chances are the answer is no. Is it Asim and Atari or no? It's not Asim and Atari. It's not Asim and Atari. But Lamaisa, Shalom Shadron, Shalom Shadron gave a shmooz, and he said it's very interesting. This guy in the middle of Davening Shemini Esrei found himself getting socked in the chest. And he got all angry to see who hit him, and he realized it was himself. He was up to Salah Lono. That's what Shalom Shadron said. Now, how many times do we get into that mode where while we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come on, give me a break, we're messing up again? It's the same second. So what are we doing? At least if it was a day later, an hour later, we could have a little face. We keep face a little. And yet we find sometimes in the heat of our excitement, we don't realize sometimes what we're saying. And I once heard over a tape from Moshe Feinstein, a shmooz that he gave. And he used the kasha. He says, we daven in slichas. And this is one of our highlights in slichas. No matter where you're up to, no matter what you're saying, when we get up to this part, everybody stops what they're doing. And they all join in. And they say, Shema Keleinu Hashem Lekeinu Chus Rachem Aleinu. Everybody does it. Those of us who say Tilim, say Slichas. And on Yom Kippur, every Chazor is a Shav. And we say a few Psukim out loud. And we scream them with all of our guts, right? So what are one of the Psukim? And here, this is on Yom Kippur, by Slichas. We definitely are being very careful. We're making sure that Hashem can't have any problems with what we're saying. We're concentrating, we're not spacing out. We're using the art school English so we know what we're saying. And mamash, we're being on our best behavior. And what do we say to Hashem? Al tashlichenu mefanecha. What does that mean? Al tashlichenu, don't throw us away from you. V'ruach kodshecha tikach mimenu. And don't take away our ruach HaKodesh. Now, Frank Moshe, how many of us have ruach HaKodesh? Most of us don't. And yet, we scream, Ruach Kodesh Chal Tigach Mimenu. And he wanted to understand, what are we doing? I mean, it's like a stickle funny. If that's what it means, it can't mean that. But then what does it mean? Because we've been screaming it for years and years and years, and we haven't kavan or whatever that means, and we don't know what we're saying. So let's get the English art school. Let's see what it says by Ruach Kodesh. The Ruach Kodesh, the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, but don't take it away from us. What do the words mean? And if they mean Ruach HaKodesh, then we got a problem. Because we're davening to Hashem. Hey, Hashem, don't take away Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, we got problems. If this is what we're asking for, I am Kippur. You know, I want my Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. That's the truth. So what are we trying to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point? So Moshe Feinstein said over an interesting to him. He said, if I remember correctly, I heard it years and years ago, but it's something along these lines. That's a great limud. And Moshe Feinstein, you have to realize, was I'm not even ready to say his words, his name. I mean, the Holy of the Holies. In the last 30 years, 40, I mean, that's it. He just knew everything. He was like a throwback to some generation, I don't know, 100, 200 years ago, I don't know. But Lamaisa, the I don't know if any of you ever was able to meet him. I don't know if you were, but he was such a simple, sweet person. You know, had his great-grandchild on his lap, and a regular grandfather, regular person, but he was just amazing. I don't have the right words to describe it, I'm not Roy. But he just knew everything. It's the way it is, you know. Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, Shiva in the Mir, said that he called him up with 50 shilas on his Eil Neshech, the hardest parak in Shas, and he asked him if he could ask him some questions. If he has it, yes, he said, go ahead and start asking. And in an hour, or whatever it was, he asked all the 50 questions. He They weren't Rashi, Pshat, and Taisus. Shmuel Bermat was Kashas. The Lundis involved in each Kasha was amazing Lundis. We wouldn't have been able to understand even one Kasha. And after he answered all 100, like tick-tock, all 50 Kashas, he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm glad that I see the Rosh Hashivah's Taka doing this parak, obviously. No, no, it's been many years since I did it. And these are stories Kaseda. He was an amazing, amazing person. And whatever. No, I'll tell you an interesting thing. I'll tell you an interesting story. Okay? Maisi Shahaya. Just show you Dash, but show you Kalat Kula. In Camp Staten Island. So the Mashkiach in the kitchen of Camp Staten Island is a big Talmud Chacham. A Bucky also in most of Shulchan Aruch. And there was a guy, he was the Mashkiach, and he used to be there by the meals to watch the food being served, the guy preparing it, and overseeing the situation. And there was a guy, they were serving out the food, and they had, it was lunchtime, they had one of these like hot cheese kugels, like a cheese lasagna kind of thing. And you know what I'm talking about. And it was boiling hot, and they had these big spatulas. There were like 15 pans lined up, because the families used to eat also. There was a family dining room, and all the talmidim and everything. And there were these spatulas stuck in, and everybody was helping themselves. And he came in and he realized that the spatulas were fleishiks. They were sprayed red on the handle, and the milchiks were sprayed blue. And he panicked, because the night before they had meatloaf for supper, and he realized that the guy just used the same spatulas, and he was busy with something, he didn't get into the dining room in time, and now he had a problem, because the entire lunch, all 15 pans laid out, and everybody was helping themselves to this boiling hot cheese lasagna, and Houston, we got a problem, and he didn't know what to do. So we're running off to the bungalow where Moshe Feinstein stayed, in his bungalow. And Rav Moshe was leaving at the time to go to some sort of a meeting. He was in his car, and he came running up in front of the car just as it was pulling out. And back in the day, it wasn't shot that you just push a button and the window goes down, if it's working. It's you gotta go like this. Now Rav Moshe was 90 years old, whatever he wasn't going like this. So someone else had to lean over and go like this. It was a whole big deal. And it was a tircha. And everybody was very makbid with Seif Yomov, not to be matriachim too much. And the Maisa, with the window, he rolls the window down, and he's like all huffing and puffing. He had to run across camp, like a quarter of a mile, to get to where the bungalows are. And he gets out the Shaila, and whatever, that we got a problem, because what should I do now? I have all the food for the entire camp, and we got the flight chicken special. I got a big problem. So Moshe looks at him, thinks for a second, and he's in the car. He says, "Du bist sicher, as gewesen dieselbe spatula?" He says, "Are you sure that it was the same spatula?" So Mashkiach said, "Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm working in this camp 15 years, and these are spatulas. Yeah, like that's why I'm coming to ask the Shaila." So Moshe was quiet for a second or two, and he looks at him again. Nee. Du bist sicher, as gewesen dieselbe spatula? He says, no. Are you sure that it was the same spatula? So again, Mashkiach said, yeah, it's the same one. Whatever. So Mashkiach was quiet for another second or two. He looks at him with a stare. He says, Nee. Du bist 100% sicher, as gewesen dieselbe spatula? He asked him, Atameachuz? He wanted to know if he was 100% sure. That was the same spatula. So at that point, Mashkiach got nervous. And he said, "Look, Rebbe, I didn't stand the whole night with my binoculars trained on the spatulas. I went to sleep at night, and I left the spatulas in the kitchen. So can I say for sure that it's the same spatula? I didn't sit with it straight from last night's meatloaf supper to today's cheese lasagna. I didn't sit this straight. But they're the same spatula." So Mashkiach said, "Ah, so you bist a..." He said, "So, therefore, you're a suffix then. You weren't, you know." So it's a hefset, and you can be mistarf this shita, that shita, the other shita. And he was, what he did was is he took all the different shitas that he knew, and he said, Memela, Alts is good, and don't worry about it. And the Mashkiach started trying to argue with him. She said, hey, if you feel good, you can put the spatulas on the side. Don't use those spatulas. You get different spatulas. But there's nothing really wrong with the spatulas either, I feel. So don't worry about it. And then the car drove away. Mashkiach walked back, and he was shaking his head. And he turns to the people that were, like, all want, they were gathered around. And he looked, the Shiva said, everything's good. Gavaldik, you can eat it, and whatever. Then he goes to the guys on the side. I don't eat it. The receiver didn't hear my question while he's leaving. Trust me. Don't eat it. But for the rave of the people, the receiver said it's kosher. But his few close confidants, he gave the wink, wink, nod, nod, like, you know, stick the tuna fish today. I finished. But Kitza, after lunch, he gathered everything, you scoop it all, and you get the 15 pans back into 3 pans, which are left over. And he went to the walk-in fridge to put it away. They have a big walk-in fridge. One side is where the fleishiks go, one side is where the milchiks go. He walks in there, and he's putting his stuff away, and he notices in the corner of his eye, on the fleishik side, the leftovers from the meatloaf last night, and they have spatulas in them. So he right away panics, and he takes a look, and what's going on? He calls the guy over, and he says, what's going on over here? What happened? Oh, Rabbi, I forgot to tell you. I bought new ones like you told me to, and I didn't have any of the blue paint left, so I just sprayed red. Maisa Shahoya. The kids, a few hours later, this guy was on his hands and knees with his tail between his legs, asking Mechila from the Shiva. And the Shiva didn't know what he wanted from him, because I wasn't being Mechila, I was telling you what the Locha is. It's das. Okay, now, having said that, I can keep you here all night about stories of Moshe. Oh, that's the point. Says Moshe Feinstein, what's the shot over here of Kodshecha? When you do something, you say good morning to somebody. Every morning you pass at least one, even if you're a grump, there's one person, your wife, your child, your somebody, that you're going to say good morning to. You could be Mekayim a mitzvah if you just concentrate on being good morning. In your mind, everything we don't think about. Except when someone steps on our toes, then we react. And that's when the Kama says it. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the reason why we have no shaychus to anything kodshecha-ish is because we're not thinking, we're just doing. But the koyach of the Torah and the koyach of the mitzvahs, what made Rav Moshe Feinstein, it was the koyach of Torah, is because when he said good morning, he was mechaven to be mekayem a mitzvah. And everything he did, and every tenuah, and every movement, and every machshava, and every thought, was I'm being an Oved Hashem. Everywhere I'm learning, every step I walk towards shul in the morning, Schar Alicha, where Rav Moshe Feinstein was once walking with two of his talmidim to the yeshiva from Grand Street, where he lived near the FDR Drive in Manhattan, and he got to the yeshiva, he told them, you should know the addition, and he said in Yiddish that there are 2,643 steps from my house to the yeshiva. Why? Because a diamond dealer knows how many diamonds he has. And if you machshiv every step that it's a mitzvah, every mitzvah is worth more than all the diamonds in the world. So then you know how many steps you took. That's amazing. But it's so simple for them. Why? Because when you do mitzvahs, you learn Torah, you are made more holy. The ruach kodshecha is implanted in each one of us, that if we do things because our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to, and the Torah said we should do it, and we're going to be better because of it, we do have a Ruach Kodeshecha in us. But the reason why we don't have it in us is because that's not how we're living. So Reb Moshe said, "We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Al Tasu Chinam Lefanecha. Don't throw us away from you. Let us stay connected. And don't take away the Siyata Deshmaya that we need to stay connected when we do things in mitzvahs and Torah, Maisim Tovim." I saw outside on the desk, there's a thing, I don't know what it's called, but something to do with neighbors helping for finances for the chagim, for different things. I forgot what it's called. A paper outside. I don't know what everybody wrote. One of the papers on the desk outside. Toymech, something Toymech. Whatever. Now, I was approached today by someone to give a tzedakah thing. So I gave him a little tzedakah. Like 10 minutes later, it hit me. Wow, I'm such a moron. Because I should have thought that I was giving tzedakah. I didn't. What I thought was, I'm getting the guy away from me. He came for money. I gave money. I totally didn't even think that I was giving tzedakah. So I lost out the fullness of what that mitzvah was. The ruach kodesh of that mitzvah, I lost out. If I'm giving the shekel already, I might as well pat my bank account with a mitzvah. That's the ruach kodesh that we forget about. That comes from das. If you have das and you stay tuned in and you channel that das towards what's real, we'll have ruach kodesh. Now, the next step is once we become more cognizant, we can now make HaKadosh Baruch Hu real to us. Because if things we're doing are real, so then why we're doing it and who we're trying to please becomes more real. But that can't happen if we don't even get the first base. You can't score without passing all the bases. So you can hit the ball out of the park, but if you don't go around and touch all of the bases, you're not going to score. You have to go in a seder. And that's what we have to realize. It's not a joke. It's for real. And just to give you a muscle, one of the uvdis that Rav Miller used to say was, if you want, he says, every day by one meal, you should look at the mezuzah. This is one of the reasons for a mezuzah, actually, to remind you that there's a Rabban Shalom, and that he sees everything, and that it's for real. Just like you see me and I see you now, he's seeing us too. If we realize that, we'd be different guys. But we don't realize it, because we forget about it. And he says, if you look at the mezuzah, and the yachshav, think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roya, once a day, for 1 second, do it. Do it for a year that way. And every day, once a day, you'll start making it real. You'll start using your das to become more in tune with the realness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that point, you will have accomplished what your goal was. The way to do it is by realizing first what you're doing. And the second of all is to realize why and to who you're doing it.